Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the merchant shit. Let's go hook him up!
Another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Greetings and salutations from Seattle, Washington, Edward.
Cool. Well, welcome back from your week off of being unprofessional.
Yes, my unprofessionalism brought me great joy.
Yeah. I mean, Craig, don't you know that in this day and age, nobody takes their family out together? I mean, what are you trying to relive, Leave It to Beaver or something?
I love my family, and I will take them, well, most places.
What the hell kind of stupid question is that?
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, you just don't worry about it. You need to wait till you're introduced. So we got our other co-host on the line, Katrina, what's up besides being rude?
I don't need an introduction.
That's right. This man needs no introduction.
If you say so.
So introduce me.
Go ahead, Craig. What?
I didn't say anything.
Oh.
Hey, introduce him.
Oh.
Even though I didn't need it.
I did introduce him. You just wasn't paying attention.
Well, here. I'll introduce him. The man whose wrestling knowledge rivals one Dave Meltzer. Katrair, how are you doing tonight, Katrair?
I'm fine. I dispute that.
No, you just go with it.
Okay.
Well,
what's going on,
it's
Ed?
It's been a pretty newsworthy week. There's
okay.
I guess all kinds of crazy shit that happened this week that we could talk about tonight.
Yeah.
How short
is
the moment of the week this week?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I said no shortage of morons of the week.
Yeah,
that's
I thought about putting that on the blurb that instead of, you know, one moron of the week, we could have about a half a dozen morons of the week. Yeah, so it's been pretty crazy. So I guess if there's anything you guys want to talk about right away, I guess we could break into the news.
Oh, I've got so much to talk about. Man, what a week I had. I'll tell you what. From Montana to see Pearl Jam, all the way to Everett to see WWE. It was a fabulous week for myself.
Well, you can skip the Pearl Jam part.
Okay, so it all started Sunday when I got on a plane and we went to... skip that part, my bad.
I was Montana.
Yeah.
How was Montana? Not the culture, but Montana.
Oh, Montana itself was a nice, quaint little place that I'll probably never go back to unless Pearl Jam plays there again. It's beautiful. We actually, on our travels, after the concert on Sunday, we actually found we did some driving into the hills, and we found a buffalo preserve, and basically you got to drive around in and amongst the wildlife, and it was pretty awesome. Saw some elk and deer, and it was awesome. On the plane right there, it was really cool because three quarters of the plane, it was a, you know, two prop engine plane, you know what I mean? Just a, you know, not a jet or anything, but three quarters of the plane was going to the Pearl Jam show. It was pretty awesome. But,
those little planes are big enough to seat someone of our size?
Yeah.
They didn't make you buy a second seat, did they? Like,
No, I went with my wife, and she's small. So I have to travel with her, forever, I guess.
She's your buffer between the other passengers?
Right. Right. There was only two seats on each side of the plane. So, yeah. But, it was a good trip. Apparently, we got out because it snowed the next day. So.
Cool.
How
was the house show?
The house show, I have not had that much fun at a wrestling show in a very long time. I did write up a review in Brian Alvarez's Figure Four Weekly, if you want to check that out. But I could go over the results here real quickly since I have them.
He still does a newsletter?
Here. Yeah, he does this thing called a newsletter. It's not just the...
Yeah, you might as well read it out because nobody reads the newsletter.
That's very
true. maybe Anchor's the only one. But why are you going to read the S4W newsletter when there's like the Wrestling Observer newsletter a click away? I mean, all he does is what we do. He copy and pastes from the Observer and puts it out as his own.
Well, to be fair, that's what we do every week is copy and paste from the Observer, so we're no better.
Well,
at least we're not robbing people of the hard-earned money.
That's true. Maybe their time, but not their money. The show started right on time. I don't know if you've been to a house show lately, but something I've never seen at a house show, they actually had two big screens and a ramp and like these two neon poles over the entranceway. So it had a stage set up, which was kind of cool. So it started off right on time. AJ skipped out to the ring, and she said that Cena was hurt and he wouldn't be on the show. CM Punk came out and scowled at everybody, and the fans cheered him like crazy. So he was glad Cena was hurt. That means he had the night off. And then he skipped around the ring, which was humorous. And AJ then told him he had to fight the Big Show in a cage match. It's funny, they've built it up for weeks that Big Show is going to be in the cage all around on the radio spots and everything like that, and they treated it like none of us knew what was going on. So,
well, have
Justin
you met
Robert,
wrestling fans?
Well, the ones I was sitting behind could have used a shower. Anyway, Justin Roberts, the ring announcer, then said, if anybody wants a refund, they had till the end of the first match to go get it. And nobody did. So that was cool. They actually showed backstage skits on the Minitrons, and Daniel Bryan and Kane, declared themselves to be the tag team champions. The first match was Layla versus Eve versus Caitlin. For the Divas title, it was fine. Caitlin is looking better. Layla is beautiful. Eve is beautiful. Not to be outdone by Caitlin, who is also beautiful. And, on TV, she looks like one of the thicker girls.
Yeah.
This girl is tiny. I cannot get over how small these women are. Eve is a giant. She's really tall. but Caitlin is a tiny woman, and well, I'll just say she's mine and Ed's type. anyway, you, what's that?
She's a spinner?
Oh, Christ.
no, she's just got some meat on her bones, Ed. That's all I was talking about. Anyway, you know the drill. One girl gets bumped outside. The other two work in the ring. The finish was Caitlin actually hitting the chick kick, and Eve dumped her outside and stole the pinfall. Next out was Tenzai versus Xavier Woods, who is Consequences Creed from TNA.
So they still have the afro?
He's got the fro in full effect, with now a goatee to match, which is scruffy as well.
He don't wear the Apollo Creed shorts anymore, does he?
No, he has a pair of glittery, something that Austin Aries will wear. But he looked really good. The people in my section, I could hear them talking in amongst themselves. They were very impressed by him, and they stood and cheered as after he got squashed by the Baldo Bomb. The next match was my favorite because it was Daniel Bryan and Kane versus Kofi Kingston and R-Truth. Everybody got their own entrances, including the return of What's Up from R-Truth. Daniel Bryan came out and...
Well, I would imagine at a house show you have extra time. Worry about like commercial breaks, but that's actually pretty cool that they did that because I mean, it was always one of the cooler things about his act. Did Little Jimmy get his own entrance?
Little Jimmy was there as well.
How could you tell?
Well, I took some baking soda with me and I threw it into the air and it covered him so I could see him, much like a old Scooby-Doo cartoon.
Like when Indiana Jones threw that stuff on that invisible bridge.
Yes.
The Last Crusade, and then walked over the bridge. That was neat.
That's right. Anyway, Daniel Bryan was absolutely loved because they announced him, of course, from Aberdeen, Washington. Everybody went nuts when he came out. If I had a dollar for every time he yelled no, I could probably retire. This match was total comedy. I absolutely loved it. You know, him and Kane going back and forth. I'm the tag team champions. There was a spot, you know, Daniel and Kane were like tagging themselves in over and over, and they got into a shoving match. The fans started to chant, "Hug it out." They like positioned themselves for a hug, but Bryan couldn't do it, and just shaking his head furiously and chanting, "No, no." And so Kane went over and hugged Kofi. And Kofi stood there with his mouth open. And then he turned and grabbed Truth and hugged him. And the crowd was going nuts. And by this time, Daniel Bryan is just losing his mind on the other corner, yelling no and just pulling his hair. And now in the other corner, all three men are having a group hug.
Did he hug Little Jimmy?
I didn't see Little Jimmy, to be honest.
That would have been awesome. He would have got on his knee and hugged like Little Jimmy.
I was laughing so hard. My wife was wiping tears away from her eyes. My son was... anyway. So Daniel could take no more of this. He sprinted across the ring, threw a drop kick, and everybody moved. Of course, he ate the turnbuckle, and anyway, it was just fabulous. Finish was Kane getting a blind tag on Bryan, and then choke slamming him for the pin. Next out was Brodus Clay and the Funkadactyls. Those women are insanely hot.
Where are the pictures, right?
They're on the. They're in the pro wrestling section there, Eddie. And I've got the picture of the Funkadactyls. I'll tell you what. The picture.
I'll have to do some investigation.
Yes, you might. Anyway, Brodus jiggled his way down to the ring, and my son was losing his mind because he loves the Funkasaurus. or as he calls him, the Thunkosaurus. He's six. Anyway, Damian Sandow came out, and this man is unreal. I love this guy. He was wearing, what do you call it? It's the faux fur, like, oh, shoot, what do you call it? Not like sheepskin, but velour. He was wearing velour trunks.
Like Vinny?
Yes. Wearing purple velour trunks, and my wife could not get over it. Anyway, he lost quickly to the Thunkosaurus, and then the kids got in the ring and all got to dance. Next up was Santino versus Dean Ambrose. I was losing my mind because I had yet to see him. He cut a promo and blew away 75% of the roster. He is going to be an awesome heel. Unfortunately, Santino won. They did a spot where Ambrose got him in a sleeper hold, but Santino had already put the Cobra on his arm. And so as Ambrose got him in the sleeper, Santino is doing Cobra strikes over his shoulder, and Ambrose is moving to the right. He's dodging to the left, avoiding the Cobra at all costs. And finally, Santino stomps his foot, turns around, eats the Cobra, and Santino won.
This is a pretty nice picture, Greg.
Thank you. I was very proud of that. apparently, Bill Apter is proud of it as well. But anyway, I'll tell you more about that some other time. Next up was
in the show again.
Yeah, I know. Antonio Cesaro versus Zack Ryder. This was a fan pick 'em match. Basically, you got to text in, and you could either pick, get this, a 2 out of 3 falls match or a lumberjack match.
Who was the match? It was Ryder and who?
Antonio Cesaro.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, Claudio. Anyway, lumberjack match won by 88%, of course. Claudio is absolutely shredded. He is so ripped. And he looked great. You know, typical lumberjack match. The heels beat on the good guy when he got thrown out. And Ryder got a near fall by hitting the broski boot as Ryder was going for a pin. Sandow put Cesaro's foot on the ropes. This caused chaos outside. The lumberjacks all brawled up the ramp. As they were brawling up the ramp, Sandow snuck all the way around the ring, got up into the ring as they were all distracted, necked Ryder on the top rope, and Cesaro hit the neutralizer for the 3 count. It was actually a very good match. Main event was CM Punk versus Big Show in a cage match. Big Show was absolutely loved. Punk came out, and there was a kid 2 rows behind us, and he was laying into Punk. I thought he was going to come over the rail. I really did. Punk made fun of the cage structure because they got it up really fast. He's like, who built this? Because you could hear him from where we were sitting. So this kid is screaming at him. Punk,
was it the mesh cage or the one with the big bars?
It was the mesh cage.
Okay.
The old school good one before, you know, Hogan couldn't climb it. Punk was laying into this kid. He was probably maybe 15, 16.
Did he backhand him?
No, but he said, step over this rail so I can beat your four-eyed ass, is what he said, because he was wearing glasses, you see. But he was just laying into this kid. It was pretty awesome.
So he wasn't being a star. He was being a bully.
Yes, he was being a bully. Punk just ran away from Big Show most of the match. Show finally got a hold of him, just chopped the crap out of him, front and back. The finish was Punk had got a kick in. Big Show was laid out. He went up top for the top rope elbow. And as he was up there, he pointed to the sky and then blew it off and gestured, screw this, and he started climbing out of the cage, which everybody was mad. From there, let me think. I'm reading my notes, trying to paraphrase. From there, Show got a hold of him, beat him up on the top. Punk hit another kick, and Show, like, bounced and rolled all the way to the other side. So he was going for the cage door, and Punk was, like, on top of the cage, basically, and so it was a foot race to the outside. And, Punk dropped off the top to the floor to win the match. And was a really fun show. Really, really fun.
It's still no excuse for you missing the show, Craig.
How dare you?
He called us a week in advance, but I like you no-showed.
Thank you. Thank you. I called in sick. The funny part came after the match. Punk, they started rolling Punk up the ramp because he was, quote-unquote, hurt. But they didn't have a gurney. They didn't have a stretcher or anything. So they got, like, one of those big cases that they carry all the gear in. And the ref and one of the trainers put him up on this rolling gurney, and they start wheeling him up the ramp, and they lost control of the thing, and Punk rolled down the ramp and crashed and burned, and everybody howled
laughter. He pretty much sells Stone Cold's after the show gimmick.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, because also I always grab the chair and go flying down the ramp with the beers and.
Yes. Anyway, it was a good show. They did the same thing, the next night in Yakima. I was actually thinking about going. I had such a good time, but yeah, it was a really fun show, and glad I missed this show to go.
Your wife didn't get mad when she saw how much the tickets were.
You know, she never said anything, so you know the old saying, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than it is to ask permission.
Well, that sounded like a fun time. House shows are always cool. The only thing that sucks about house shows are the fans.
That's true.
True.
Yeah. Has everything been this week? Or just any fans in particular?
Yeah, this is a pretty low-key crowd. I mean, there was probably, it was actually a pretty good showing. There's probably 3,000, 3,500. It was pretty good. Anyway.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we could get into the news now.
Sure thing. We can do that. Let me pull it up right here. By the way, thank you to Rovert, who posted the match. This isn't in our news, but there
you
was
talk
a...
About the, you guys want to talk about the match now before we hit the news?
Yes.
I haven't seen it. Don't spoil it.
Man, that was a great match. Thank you. Thank you, Rovert. That was one of the best things I've seen in a long time. Suzuki and Tanahashi from the New Japan High pay-per-view. God, it was phenomenal. Did you watch it?
Yeah, I saw it a few days ago. Zombie actually posted a link of it on Facebook. And I checked it out. And first off, I got to say the quality of this match, or the quality of the video or whatever,
yeah,
was freaking excellent for something for an high pay-per-view. It's like, It's like it just shows you how fucking much better the Japanese are at fucking everything than we are, because their second pay-per-view and their first pay-per-view here in the States, and it looked absolutely perfect, and freaking none of the pay-per-view companies here can, you know, it's like we always hear shit about their fuck-ups and everything. I mean, first off, the quality was great.
So you're telling me the Asians know more about computers than the white man? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, they know a lot more about it. Than,
yeah, I'll be there.
That's why all the TVs are named have Japanese names and shit, you know.
Sure. Yeah, this match was phenomenal. They beat the crap out of each other.
What I liked about it, okay, there's, I guess, I was going to say there's no high spots, but there is kind of one high spot where he Tanahashi goes for a splash and Suzuki gets the knees up. I mean, that's the closest thing to like a high spot in this match.
Yes.
And what's awesome about the match is it's just like it's so old school wrestling. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a little stiffer than what you would have seen in back in the day, but The whole match is just one big story. One big story that makes sense because you got one guy working over the arm the entire match and you got one guy working the leg the whole match. And, you know, it was – I love the spots where he just started slapping the shit out of Tanahashi. that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I got to say, I haven't seen Tanahashi in a while. I mean, that dude – the last time I saw him, I guess, was TNA, where he looked good. But I mean, he looks like a freaking superstar now. I mean, he's got an awesome look. He looked like if they make another Star Blazers movie, he could be Derek Wall's star.
By the way, the worst haircuts I have seen in a very long time on two men.
Suzuki?
I thought he had paint or something.
That was the worst haircut I've ever seen.
It was like he was going like he like part of it like looked like the missing link because he had like hair in the back.
Yes, exactly.
And then he had like some weird designs. Oh, I thought it was awesome actually.
I saw like the one that I watched. It had like I guess he had challenged him or something like at a different show, and he came out and like challenged him. And I said, did he just lose a hair match or something earlier in the show? And he's coming out to make a challenge or something. He looked like he just got his head shaved or something like that. Anyway, I like
it. It looked a little mangy there.
Yeah. I like Tanahashi would whip out those Dragon Screw leg whips. And
yes.
You remember how Moto used to do them from the inside?
Yes.
But Tanahashi did them from like the outside, and it looked like he almost damn near broke his leg.
The very first one, he took like a weird bump on it.
Yeah.
And it's like, that really made it like, damn, did he really hurt himself there?
Yeah.
He just went from the angle where there's no really nowhere for the other guy to go when he gets hit with it. I mean, when you go from the inside, you know, you just go like right down to the mat kind of easy. But yeah, it was good.
Yeah,
I like when he had Tanahashi like an arm bar or something. And he was like pulling him on that tape with his mouth. And I think what got the reaction is people, I think maybe somebody thought it was his skin that he was actually chewing on.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it looked like.
the first Dragon Screw leg whip, he actually went down with it, like straight down, and it looked like it like hyperextended his knee. It looked really awesome. And that was the story of the match. He would work on the leg, and the other guy would work on the arm. And it just built and built and built, and the storytelling was just phenomenal.
And unlike American matches where someone, like, let's say they start working over the arm and 5 minutes, like, a couple minutes later, they're just no-selling. It's like they totally forgot about it. I mean, these dudes sold their injuries the whole match. I mean, it was a really – I got to put it over Davey and Elgin.
Yeah.
Because it was just so perfectly working. And then, like, all the transitions were smooth. I mean –
They did everything.
Yeah, you're talking about two polished guys. I mean, they blow. You know, I don't know. I haven't seen enough of Tanahashi to say he's better than Daniel Bryan, but as far as just overall, I got to put those two dudes above everybody else over WWE as far as ring work. I mean, and Suzuki's supposed to be, like, not the greatest guy in some aspects, but I thought he was great. And I really enjoyed the match. I gotta put Brock Cena as my match of the year because that just was such a spectacle. But I would go with this one second above Elgin and Davey.
This was like maybe what they weren't doing, like, you know, today people do. Okay, we're going to kick out of this finisher like two times. We're going to kick out of
there was one pin the whole freaking match, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, one pinfall.
I think the only rest was submissions.
Yeah.
That's what was different about this. They did submissions the whole time and no pinfalls. So they wanted to win the match via submission. So the pinfalls just, you know, they didn't matter. Whereas in ROH or, you know, any other indie promotion, the way you get the crowd and you build the crowd is to pinfall attempt after pinfall attempt after pinfall attempt. And this was just the opposite. There was what seemed like forever, there was a figure four spot.
What I liked about the figure four spot is, and I can't believe no one, I've never seen anyone do that, but the way Suzuki blocked it at first.
Yeah.
It's like, that made perfect. Why hasn't anyone done that before? All you got to do is grab the guy's leg before it kicks on your knee or on your leg.
Yeah. That made total sense. And it was very, very much MMA oriented. You're going for a Kimura, rear naked, and it was a very, very good match. It's hard for me because, and I can't believe it's not that hard for you, but I was in the building with Davey and Elgin, and that match had the same build to the big spot at the end. And so when I put them together, it's, you know, I was in the building for the one. If I was in the building for this match, easy. Match of the year.
I like the spot where Suzuki, he was just about to hit the ropes, but he couldn't go anywhere. His leg gave out on him. And then Tanahashi
hit
the ropes to nail him, and he just took a drop kick right up in his face. Thought it was an awesome spot.
Yeah.
Sometimes if I don't know the guy, it's hard for me to get into a match if I'm not familiar with anybody, but didn't really have any problems.
Agreed. I felt the same way. It was hard for me to really get into the match because I haven't watched New Japan in years. But
and sometimes because of the lack of commentary, you know, sometimes the lack of commentary kind of leads you along and stuff like that. So
the one thing I was really noticing about the match, the one thing, that ref, oh my gosh, that is the greatest ref I have ever seen.
You're right about that. I was thinking that myself during the match. I mean, he sold everything.
Oh, my gosh. He was in there and wearing wrestling boots, by the way. So, obviously a worker. But, yeah, just everything about the match was phenomenal. And I will definitely be getting the next one.
You'll see a lot of people bitch about the commentary. It's like, I can't get into the Japanese commentary. I mean, I don't understand it. I might be the only one, but even though I don't understand what the hell they're saying, like commentary like that, even though I don't know what they're saying, it still kind of gets me into the match.
Well, they're so excited, it's kind of hard not to. I mean, those guys are losing their minds. You don't know what they're saying, but they're spirited, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Just listen for my name. They might give me a shout-out. When's the next show? January 4th, is that right?
Something like that.
January the 4th show, isn't that the biggest show they do all year, pretty much? Or used to be?
There's a few shows that are pretty big, but it's one of the biggest ones.
I remember the January 4th show, you know, back in the 90s, and they had, like, the WCW Super Shows and stuff like that. I thought they're biggest shows of the year, so.
Yes. Yeah, I'm probably going to get the whole thing. I mean, I enjoyed the main event so much. It's kind of like I watched that, like, Wednesday, kind of towards the early evening, and I was like, I watched that, and I was like, damn, I should have ordered it.
Yeah, phenomenal. So go out of your way to find this. I don't know if
YouTube channel if anybody wants to check that out.
There you go. Why don't you throw out your handle?
I don't know what it is. Just YouTube. Type my name in. I think it's probably YouTube/Katrina or something like that. I don't know how it works.
Okay.
Sorry.
Good enough. No, it's good. It's good stuff. Go out of your way to see this. Real good stuff.
And also, I've got to put up a bunch of those Legends Roundtables from the WWE 24/7. I didn't put them up. I just linked to them. They had a round table with like J.J. Dillon, Kevin Nash, and Michael Hayes and Jim Ross talking about the NWO and stuff like that. So pretty good stuff if anybody wants to check it out.
Cool.
Cool beans. Well, let's get into the news. Where do we want to start? I know last week or 2 weeks ago I was chastised for not starting with the biggest story. And
well, it is the news, and if you ever watch the news, the local news,
you know,
or the world news,
you
can start with the big
story. Well, which big story do you want me to start with? Because there are some pretty epic stories this week. I guess we'll start off with
I would have liked to have trimmed all that down more, but I just tried to you know, put everything together, and it might be a lot, so if you don't want to read all of it, you don't have to.
Yeah, no problems. I'll start off with the biggest story that I heard about this week. I heard this on every radio station that I listen to, every morning show. There's a sex tape, and it stars one Hulk Hogan. About 1 minute of the sex tape with Hulk Hogan and Heather Klem, the then wife of his good friend, Bubba the Love Sponge, has leaked on the internet this past week. The Gawker website, which turned into a firestorm that has seemingly put Hogan in one of the lowest spots in his life, according to those close to him. Hogan himself said that the story turned up, this is poorly written, I'm sorry, the story turned up turned into gossip news around the world, and it ended up with Hogan actually discussing it and already booked an appearance on the 9th to promote TNA's Bound for Glory show. Hogan made the media rounds doing Howard Stern, The Today Show, TMZ, The Marie Osmond Show, and CNN's Piers Morgan Show. According to close friends of Hogan, he was wanting to press charges and file a lawsuit in the situation to get to the bottom of who leaked the tape without his permission. I have not gone out of my way to find this, but as I'm told, or as I've heard on the radio, apparently after the scene, as it were, Bubba Love Sponge is there with his wife and basically says, if we ever release this, we'll never have to work again. We'll be millionaires. It was also said on the Howard Stern show that Howard said, oh yeah, he's offered me his wife numerous times.
I have one question. Is this a second sex tape for Hulk Hogan, or is this the same one that they were talking about a few months ago?
Same one from a while back, from a few months ago, we heard some talk about.
Okay, so they just found out more, you know, I guess they found, you know, more information about it.
I was thinking to myself,
damn, Hogan's got two sex tapes, man. He's trying to pass up China.
I don't plan to watch the Hogan sex tape, but I would watch it before China's sex tape. I'll just say that.
The woman on the morning show that I listened to had actually seen it, and apparently the pythons that Hogan has, well, apparently he's got another one. let me just say that she thought that he was very well off. I'll leave it at that.
Now, like, you know, we have our moron of the week. Now, this week we have the douchebag of the week, and that goes to Bubba the Love Sponge.
It's some creepy shit, man. I don't even like thinking about it. I feel like I want to go take a shower just talking about this kind of stuff.
Right.
He's about to bang the dude's wife, and he says, well, I'll be down here in the office if you see me. You know, you guys just do your thing. When I'm with a woman, I don't even like anybody else in the same house. Jesus Christ. I make the dog go outside. Shit. Then I ask her to quietly leave when I'm finished.
Apparently Hogan said he didn't know that Bubba was filming this, and he said he had talked to him as though they were good friends. However, prior to the news breaking, a close friend of Hogan's told Hogan that he was well aware that Bubba was behind it. The friend stated to us, whoever the story's to, that Hogan said, and I quote, Bubba the Love Sponge is the biggest piece of S in the world. Sorry, I don't curse.
That's Irish dude. It'll be okay.
So anyway, this was horrible. So
wasn't both of the last ones on TNA at one time?
Yes.
Yeah, he got knocked out by Awesome Kong in the dressing room.
Well, that's right.
Yes. That's right.
Because he said fuck Haiti or something. She was raising money for Haiti. I guess there's a tsunami or something. And
said,
fuck Haiti. We got no problems in this country. Let's support this country. And then she kind of got pissed off, and I think she clocked him backstage. And
I wonder if she used a spinning back fist on his ass.
I know she called into some radio show, and it was like a setup because Bubba was there, and he's called her a black bitch, told her to go back to Africa and shit like that. And then I think that's when he got the walking papers from Dixie.
Yeah, I heard that.
I don't understand this, especially guys like him. He's just painful. Just a vile human being.
Yeah.
It's funny, too, because Brian has actually ridden cross-country with one Awesome Kong and says she's the sweetest, most Aunt Jemima lady he's ever met. So I don't know what that means, but apparently she said hun and sweetie a lot.
Racial comment, that's what it is.
Well,
you know, you don't know this, Craig, because you don't go to strip clubs, but if you did get to strip clubs, you know that Brian has jungle fever, so
yes,
I
have heard that Brian likes the more exotic, which is why he ended up with the blonde chick.
He likes the black strippers. He's the opposite of Contreras.
Jeez. Okay, let's get off that.
Does that mean I like the white strippers?
Yeah, because you're racist.
I'm not racist. I hate everybody. I hate you. I hate the Mexicans. Let's see. Never mind.
Well, anyway, this is another black eye on Mr. Hogan and his family. What a way to lose a friend.
I don't, you know, honestly, it's Hulk Hogan. He'll get over it.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta also take it with a grain of salt, think that it's all work, because, I mean, when did Hulk Hogan ever tell the truth about anything?
Well, he probably filed a lawsuit over this, which I don't think he's going to do if it's not true. So
I think just to get publicity and to kind of make him look a little, like, make him look a little clean and not as dirty out of the other ones, I think that was all for show.
And what a week for that to happen. You know, this is like the Vince McMahon sex tape the week before WrestleMania coming out or something like that.
You know, I was half expecting them to make an angle out of it last night on Impact.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Fans would have started a stand or something. You got naked.
You know, LaDonna, you know, he threw that idea out.
Oh, yeah. He had to. He would have been a fool not to have.
And what Hogan said last night when he said, "Brothers, a lot of stuff has gone on since last week." I said, "Sure has."
Oh yeah, if Russo still had the book, there would have been nothing but Hogan sex talk last night.
Yeah.
Anyway,
say they got the Hogan tape, and then they can get access. That's what they should use for living instead of Joseph Park.
Oh, Lord. That's actually funny.
At least they're feeding
it. Okay. Right. Anyway, so that was an unfortunate thing for the Hogans. The next biggest story had to have been this one. CM Punk in an altercation following Raw. The altercation was with a fan, and not the right fan. The second biggest news coming out of Raw was CM Punk backhanding a fan in the crowd during Vince McMahon's promo at the end of the show. The incident can be seen briefly on the actual television show right before McMahon announces that Punk must choose to defend the title against either John Cena or Ryback at the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. there have been many, numerous YouTube clips of people at the show who actually got more of the video. You can clearly see a fan pushing CM Punk as Raw went off the air. In the YouTube clips that I saw, there were a couple of guys shoving Punk around. Punk looks behind him, and a larger young man throws up his hands as if to say, "Hey, buddy, it wasn't me." He gets shoved again, and Punk wildly swings behind him and clobbers the kid in the face.
Well, the reason he did that is because someone reaches around the fat kid, reaches around him and in front of, like, right in front of him, so it's like he's doing it, and slaps Punk right in the back of the head.
Right. So this kid, this larger gentleman with glasses, he was probably, I would guesstimate, anywhere from 20 to, you know, 25 years old. Apparently the man's name is Charles Schmidt. Apparently he got his glasses broken and his face felt warm as if he'd been hit by a fist. Anyway, he's thinking about legal action. He didn't press charges at this time. I would just very easily contact the office and say, "Listen, I want to go to WrestleMania until I die," and leave it at that.
Dude, he's going to go to WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, every house show in his town,
right,
and get to meet people before the shows and after. And, hell, they might even let him fuck one of the divas.
Okay. I need to come up with a disclaimer when you say something silly. But anyway, the views of one Ed Laredo do not reflect the entire show. Anyway, the fan did talk to the cops afterwards. Again, he did not press charges, but he is possibly pursuing legal action. Apparently, there was one of the kids that pushed Punk took to Twitter and actually was bragging about how he got the other kid hit. So
I know, what a dumbass.
Right?
I feel the whole situation was screwed up. I mean, I don't know if Punk wasn't supposed to go up there, like into the crowd, if it's just something he, you know, did on his own, or if he was supposed to, but security wasn't there. I don't know.
Because the security hasn't been the same since that one dude left the company. You know what I'm talking about? That one dude, he looked like a fucking white-shaved ape.
Yeah.
He was so jacked up, and he had a little tiny beret on his head. And whenever they went to the crowd, he was right there. And nobody ever fucked with anybody because, you know, who wants this fucking gorilla to fucking kill him? And
right.
Security's been lacking since that guy left the company.
Security was
bad
way out of
position. It's just kind of that one of those stupid things, you know. When you get pushed so many times, you just want to knock the shit out of somebody. I think that's just what happened with him. And he just reacted.
Well, the dude, like, slapped him in the back of the head pretty hard. I mean, I don't blame him for getting pissed off.
I mean, just a reaction, just deciding, fuck it, I'm just gonna smack somebody, you know?
Yeah.
So. You know, if a fan throws a punch at you, you know, as far as I know, and as all I've been told, if a fan comes at you first, you are allowed to go after them, especially if they come over the rail. The bad thing was they didn't have to come over the rail. He went to them.
Yeah.
Cool. So security was
a couple
way...
weeks ago, the idiot jumped in the Ryback match?
Yes.
Exactly.
That was just stupid. That's a man with a death wish. Because you see how he tries to be careful with people, and I'm rolling my eyes as I say that. You know, he hits those guys really hard, and he's faking it. Okay,
yeah.
I'm just saying, if he lays into you, I think you might be going down. But,
remember when Jackass jumped in the ring when Eddie Guerrero was in that ladder match?
Which one?
Yeah, three pick him out.
Against Rob Van Dam, and he pushed the ladder over while Eddie was trying to climb it. It was all wrong.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
I do not remember this, but I have to go back and find it now.
Yeah.
But like I was talking about how like security hasn't been the same. To me, I really they shouldn't have been slapping Punk, but to me after that the blame kind of goes on the WWE because it's weird because I remember I was at a show, I was at the Raw, I'm pretty sure it was the Raw where Chronic debuted in the WWE. And I was like second row or third row, and I had the aisle seat, right there, camera side. So, you know, we're watching this one match, and this one lady, she was actually an older lady, but she's part of security, and she comes up and she starts like kneeling next to my seat, and she tells me, "Honey, they're gonna come running by here in a minute. Please don't kill me when when they do." But it was her and some other security, you know, other security guards, and they kind of mentioned that, and they had everyone ready. So when Chronic came through, you know, there was no problems. And if they knew Punk was going up there, or even anywhere in the stands, they should have already had five or six dudes there.
Yeah. You know, just reinforce why I don't go to shows with the mouth breathing, knuckle dragging mouth breathers.
I went to a show years ago, but actually it was on the 4th of July, and we actually went up to Vancouver, Canada, and saw a show on the 4th of July. How very patriotic, I know. But those Canadian fans, after Bret Hart, this was at the time where, you know, Bret was the big anti-American. He was feuding with Sean, who was, you know, sticking the Canadian flag up his nose and everything else. But at the end of that show, those wacky Canadians hit that ring. There must have been 15 to 20 of them hit the ring at the same time. I have never seen a better beatdown in all my life than the security guards brawling with the fans in the middle of the ring. It was absolutely phenomenal. I wish I could find this on tape.
I'm fine with it as long as I'm not part of it.
It was amazing.
Well, they're Canadians. They're just not right in the head, just in general.
They're hot.
It was like Bill Watson. Take them in the back room, like in Mid-South, in the Shreveport Coliseum. Take them in the back room when they get up and, you know, like break their thumb or something.
Right. Yeah, that was one of my favorite scenes, being there live for that. But anyway, yes, looks like I think CM Punk's going to hopefully get off scot-free, because I don't really think he did anything that wrong. He should have looked at who he was punching, for sure, but I'm sure he feels
like
he's a heel.
Without him on the show, this show's nothing without him on the show now. He's like the whole show.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
there's nobody else.
Yeah, I mean, really.
There's literally nobody else.
There's fucking team friendship.
I think I
need some serious stuff, too.
I think we should probably talk about the match that led up to this beating. The Vince McMahon CM Punk match, the main event of Raw. Was a spectacle, to say the least.
Yeah, that was good stuff. It was a total takeoff on, like, the first time when he was supposed to fight Stone Cold, like, back in 98, and he built the whole Raw around it. And,
Yeah.
It was kind of weird because, you know, they just had the thing with Lawler, and I thought it was weird they had Vince Cole get that physical in the ring, like, so soon after that. It just seemed kind of odd to me.
Well, it was all Vince. It's like, you know, who's going to tell him no? And Vince is crazy. Remember when he wanted to take the ride in the dumpster before Cactus and Terry Funk?
Right.
You know, just to
do it. I remember the video of him coming down from the top of the Anaheim Pond when the thing that Shawn Michaels, when he beat Bret Hart, you know, when he, I guess when he rappelled in from like some kind of one of those ropes or something. You remember WrestleMania that year when he just kind of like slid into the crowd from like above the arena, and there was video of like McMahon, he was practicing on the same thing.
He's a wacky character.
Yeah, he's a little crazy, but it was awesome. I mean, Vince is, that's one thing about Vince, he is fucking awesome. Everything he does is fucking awesome.
Now some people were complaining, like, oh, gosh, they just killed the champion off. The dude's a cowardly heel. It's not that big of a deal.
Right.
Not like he's a badass.
Yeah, and they got the angle over. Now Punk has to choose either Ryback or Cena. Of course, if Cena's not ready to go, he's going to face Ryback in the cage, which frightens me. But
I'm liking the Ryback twist. I'm getting into Ryback.
I know. It's scaring me.
I think if they get him, you know, I wouldn't, if they do everything right with him so far, I would not be surprised I would not mind seeing, like, maybe him and Undertaker at WrestleMania. I'd actually go so far as to say, if you want to end the streak, you should end it with him. Because it should be ended by another monster that's ready to, like, take over that spot. So, you know, might be a good opportunity.
I don't know, because the guy can't work. And we were going to save this topic for another show, but there's been a lot of guys in the business that have been given the monster push that couldn't, you know, as Bobby the Brain Heenan say, didn't know a wrist lock from a wrist watch. But I don't know. I would be afraid. I guess we'll see what Punk can do with him, and if Punk can drag a good match out of him, I'm sure Taker could as well. So, I don't know.
Yeah, he may be in a completely different, you know, he may position, like, when it comes to experience about WrestleMania, too. So, I mean, he's got a long ways to go, so, you know.
That's true. I'll give you that.
And I don't know, you say he can't work, but his matches are squash matches, and he does a pretty damn good job of squashing people, so...
His work is not that bad. The people are into him, so you know the feed me more chant and stuff like that. You're wrong about the Ryback craze. The Ryback is fine. The band is kind of cooled off doing the Goldberg chants, I think. And they're doing the feed me more chance now, so that's good.
The thing I'm worried about is if, you know, the first time he hits Randy Orton with a really stiff clothesline, you know, and then we'll have another, you know, we'll have another, what's his name, Anderson, you know, problem on our hands.
It'd be like Randy Orton gets upset in matches and somebody screws up and calls him stupid for real. Ryback calls him stupid because it's a gimmick. I read that in the newsletter.
I see. I thought he was calling him stupid because he didn't jump for the move.
Yeah, apparently this is gimmick. He calls everybody stupid or something.
I see. Ordering a sandwich at Jimmy John's.
That's an opportunity in a long time. They've had to really make a new huge star, I think. So.
That's true.
Might as well go with it for right now.
He's the biggest new thing that WWE's done in quite a while.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, it is working.
It is. I can't argue with that. Speaking of Raw.
At least they're giving him like they're not starting him off by saying, now he's 1-0, he's 2-0. They're not even like pushing that he's on the streak. They're just kind of letting him go out there. And maybe in 6 months, you know, he's on a winning streak. He hasn't been beaten in 6 months or something.
Yeah,
so.
It was very astute of Dave to note that when they had Crimson on a winning streak, you know, he was winning in long matches. Ryback just goes out there and kills dudes the way the Road Warriors used to, and we all know how well they got over. So.
And they all got over because they were monsters. Crimson's not a monster.
Yeah.
He looks like any other dude that just graduated from a wrestling school that's littered their bodies with an absurd amount of tattoos. The way everybody else, basically.
Right.
He's not scary.
Crimson, yes. speaking of Raw, and we were, something happened right before Raw. Apparently, Vince McMahon absolutely...
That's the thing. It didn't happen right before Raw. He fired Horowitz the Friday before.
Yes, but he flipped his lid literally at Raw.
He fired Barry Horowitz?
Brian Gerwitz, or whatever the hell his name is.
Gerwitz.
Did I say Barry Horowitz?
Brian Gerwitz.
Gore.
Anyway, let me read the story. Backstage at Raw Monday, Vince McMahon pretty much told WWE creative team that he wanted to see things change and that no one's job was safe until they did.
Including his, which is the right thing to say, but it's not true.
He said he wanted to see results or he wanted to see resignations. Brian Gerwitz was had been the top writer for the company for a long time, and especially oversaw the Raw side of things, and has been dropped from the creative team. Gerwitz's official position as senior vice president of creative writing. Gerwitz was sent home, and it was described as shocking. No one saw it coming. One person told me, and that's Brian or Dave, that he fell on the sword to show everyone that they can be replaced.
But he had already been on the home team for a while before that. He wasn't even there when it happened, if I'm not mistaken.
He wasn't. What are you talking about?
Gerwitz. He was already on the home writing team before this Raw. He wasn't at the building.
Sure. I'm just reading the story the way it was presented to me, okay, Ed?
Well, I'm saying that the story's wrong. Man, you crazy. Don't take it personal.
Well, talk to Dave Meltzer. He's the one that broke it.
Thank you.
Very wrong. He's on the
way. Anyway, ever since Raw has expanded to 3 hours, the Raw ratings have dropped considerably, especially in the third hour, and I don't think anybody could save this, not even Vince Russo. So they need to scale it back. They need to come up with something better. If it was my decision, I would just have better wrestling and longer matches, but that's what I like. So, and less Daniel Bryan.
I think
Bryan
that is the thing,
Kane.
Like they'll have one show long skit, usually involving Daniel Bryan and Kane. And they'll have like the main storyline with CM Punk or somebody, and then you'll have a few matches. I mean, I think some of the matches have gone a little bit longer. I mean, due to the change in the time and stuff like that.
Yes. And you know what? This last week, it worked.
Mm-hmm.
They established something at the beginning of the show. It paid off at the end of the show. It was a good show. I enjoyed the heck out of Raw this last week as one of the better ones that I've seen in a long time. It's just hard for those guys. I mean, in a couple of weeks, we got a 3-hour pay-per-view, and then the next night, coming up with a 3-hour Raw. The writers are they're overworked, man.
Yeah.
They're not overworked. They just suck. They need to get rid of Stephanie, dude.
Well, when you got so much TV, you got so much to produce, you can run out of ideas. I mean, it's just a natural thing.
Yeah. I mean, how many ideas have we seen recycled through over the years and the same story? You know, there's only so many stories.
I remember
like
I saw a fresh idea. This was, everything's been done, you know, pretty much.
Right. I mean.
Yeah, we just keep doing the stuff that works over and over again. That's how they did it in the old time.
I mean, Hollywood's out of ideas to keep remaking movies that they've already made. So, you know, what are you going to do? Everybody's out of ideas. I would just like to see somebody chase a title and actually, you know, a Dolph Ziggler chase a title and actually beat dudes to get to that spot. But instead, he's got a
job. Instead of lose all the time and then cash it in like 2 minutes and win.
Yeah. There's no interest in me for that because I have no faith in Dolph Ziggler because he loses every time he gets in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the you know chosen one to take the title next. How about give the guy a long winning streak? You know, give a guy, you know, a ladder to climb. You know, you beat this guy, and then you go on to beat this guy, and then maybe you get a win over the champ, or maybe you get a win over Cesaro or Miz or whoever, and you climb your ladder on the way to the top, to the championship. That builds interest in a character. It's really not.
Yeah, I mean, I've been getting interested in the tag team division the last couple of weeks with the term and everything. I think that's been pretty good. So.
Here's the thing. There's what you're saying is, you know, it's right. It's usually you should have the guy winning, the guy get over by winning. But there's a reason why Ziggler's not okay. If you think back about a year ago, Bryan Danielson didn't win a damn match for I don't know how long. And admitted a point to Teddy he wasn't winning matches, you know. But he's good. He's so good in every aspect that it didn't hurt him, and he still got over. Ziggler can have good matches, but that's the only thing he's got going for him. So that's why it's not going to work with him doing it this way. You can. Some guys are good enough to do it, and you know, to be able to lose, and it don't matter. Some guys aren't, and it's going to hurt Ziggler because he has great matches, but that's the only thing he has going for him.
I just don't see in Ziggler, I know he just doesn't look like world champion material to me. I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's one of those weird things. It's like Christian never looked like world champion material to me.
He's a smaller guy, so I understand that.
So was Brian. Right. You know, why did Brian get over losing every week and Ziggler's not, you know? Brian's better than Ziggler in every way, in every aspect.
Except for maybe traumatic bumps, but
he's smarter than
he does look stupid.
Yeah, but see, Brian's a character. So yeah, he's a show off. Okay, he does a handstand. Other than that, what's his character?
Yeah.
Who is he?
More than anything, it just sounds goofy having a world champion named Dolph Ziggler. I'm sorry.
True.
It's just the name gets me.
But he could just as easily be U.S. champ or you know, I could see him in that intercontinental Shawn Michaels role very easily, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Maybe because I've seen him go through, like, the Spirit Squad and the, what was the other one, the Kerwin White stuff and
the caddy?
Sometimes that kind of stuff just, it gets in people's mind and then they kind of, it's hard to get away from, I think.
Yeah.
Great performer. I just don't see him at the WrestleMania main event or anything like that. Just like a good performer. You know?
When I said Dolph Ziggler, I wasn't specifically referring to him. You could take any guy and have him climb his way to the top. I mean, remember Magnum TA when he, you know, was in those matches and climbing his way to the top, the best of seven series. That's stuff I'm never going to ever forget.
Yeah.
He's also 10 times more talented than Ziggler.
Also, the wrestlers still look like real men.
True.
They all look like 25-year-olds that hang out at the Tattoo Parlors now.
Speaking of creative changes, we move along to our next story. There's been a shakeup in Ring of Honor. This saddens me a little bit. Hunter Johnson, a.k.a. Delirious, who was head booker before Jim Cornette, has taken over as booker for ROH again, replacing Jim Cornette. The two have been working together for years. Johnson was the booker and Cornette was working with him, similar to the relationship with Cornette and Adam Pearce before that. When ROH was sold to Sinclair Broadcasting, Cornette became the head of creative and Johnson was his assistant. The change was announced to the ROH locker room prior to the show on the 6th in Rahway, New Jersey. According to those close to the situation, it is largely a change made mutually by Cornette and Johnson. One person described it as Johnson was young, enthusiastic, and passionate about wanting to get a chance to book for the company again with television. I didn't see it yet. Apparently, Jay Lethal took Cornette off of TV.
Yeah, I saw it.
Turning heel and...
I don't know if he really turned heel. I think he was He was, you know, they did that angle at the show where his mom got spit on by Kevin Steen, and then he flipped out, and he was in the back going crazy, and Cornette came up to him, and I think he and Cornette had been having problems anyway, because I think Cornette said he didn't have the killer instinct or something, like to be the champion, and he just got so pissed off that he just flung Cornette all the way over a table, and so that's how Jim Cornette's
This is one of these overblown non-stories, because basically it's more storyline than actual reality. I mean, in all honesty, nothing's changed. The only reason Cornette was called the Booker when they went to St. Clair was to make it look more, because he's more of a name, and make it look more professional than St. Clair. It's the same. It was the same before St. Clair, the same that it's been, and it's going to be the same now. It's basically the two of them. I mean, just Cornette's just not going to be on TV as much, but he's still going to have the same input, and Delirious is still going to have the same input he basically had. There's nothing that's really changed. It was name title. There's nothing's changed.
It was funny because I was in that thread. It's something about ROH pisses off the fans again. It said, Rahway, New Jersey show where they had just did like a no contest in the main event because they shot that hardcore angle with Jay Lethal and his mom, and people were flipping out and they were pissing and they were blaming Jim Cornette for it, and then actually it turned out that Delirious was the one that booked that, so that was kind of funny.
Yeah, now they're quiet about it.
Yeah, and I'm not that bothered. I mean, I don't see what the big deal was about having that kind of an ending. If you got a good hardcore angle, and I don't think you really need that big of a match finish, but that's just me.
Yeah, it's not that big a deal. ROH fans are just, they like the bitch. That's
true. True. I ain't going to argue with
that. I find it funny that I heard the Cornette interview one this week, and said one of the problems with one of the pay-per-views was somebody stepped on the electrical strip or something like that. I said, that really happened? I thought that was just like a joke.
Wait, what?
Somebody stepped on like the, you know, electrical strip where you got everything plugged in or something. Somebody stepped on that and it went off the air. I said, that really happened? I thought that was somebody making a joke. No, that really happened.
Ugh. Damn. I thought the Japanese were better because that shouldn't want to happen in Japan.
Yeah. That's because the Yakuza's in on all that stuff and you lose your fingers. You fuck up.
True. Oh, goodness. Moron of the Week candidate, one Tammy Lynn Finch.
Candidate winner.
Is he still in jail?
Tammy Finch arrested twice in 2 days. This makes 5 arrests in the last month. Excuse me. Tammy Finch, 39, was arrested for the 4th and 5th time in recent weeks on similar charges of domestic dispute with former live-in boyfriend Damian Darling. Finch was first arrested after 7 p.m. on the 8th when the police in Brantford, Connecticut were called to Darling's home. When they got there, they found Finch asleep and, according to a police report, apparently intoxicated. I don't believe this.
No, dude. She was on Facebook. She was talking about how she's going to make a turkey dinner and make some turkey and stuffing, and she just had a lot of tryptophan in her system. That's all.
Sure. Being in the home violated the protective order Darling had taken out on her and her being in the home. Finch was charged with disorderly conduct, criminal mischief, and 3 counts of violating a protective order. She was taken and held on $25,000 bond and arraigned the next day in New Haven Superior Court.
After who do you think that one, RF or the guys from Yushu?
They probably chipped in. After her arraignment and being released on bond, she went right back to Darling's home and the police were called again. This time she was arrested for third-degree burglary as well as her daily standard charge of violating a protective order. She was being held this time without bond. Finch was previously arrested on 9/11, 9/12, and 9/13. The first day she was arrested for disorderly conduct after a fight with her boyfriend, and took out the protective order and made it illegal for her to come near his home. The second day she was charged with disorderly conduct, strangulation, and violation of the protective order. The third day she was charged once again with a violation of the protective order. After the third day, her sister in court testified that they were taking her immediately to rehab. It is
they
believed...
took you to a shitty rehab this time because it didn't last much in a day.
I don't know if the rehab was shitty or the person that was giving it to was shitty.
It is believed that she got out of rehab, which would explain her ability to go 3 weeks without violating the order.
That's true. This is no longer sad. Now it's just so absurd it's funny. I can't help but laugh when I hear about it. It's just so stupid.
You know, somebody should play her my rant from a few weeks ago. But,
you know, Ed.
Yeah, it's
you know,
just,
in two more arrests, she could be in your league.
I've only been arrested twice.
You might have a shot with her.
How far apart were your arrests?
Long enough to where I only got 6 months probation both times.
No,
what I'm saying
is I read a report that she was with the guy that had the protective order at like some FWE internet pay-per-view over the weekend.
Yeah, wasn't she like his valet at that show or something, basically? She comes out and kisses him on video.
This is more creepy shit like Bubba the Love Sponge and all that crap. I don't know. People are twisted. She's persistent, though. She really, really wants to be a man or something. I don't know.
She doesn't give up easy. I mean,
like at this point, just give her like 6 months in prison. That'll learn her.
She might
maybe
be looking at that pretty soon. I mean, if she keeps it up, I mean, you know what I mean?
Well, it's
going to
be an easier.
It's gonna. She's not that big a star anymore. I mean, it's gonna come back on her. It's like she's delusional if she thinks like her fame is gonna keep her out of jail. If she keeps doing it, she's gonna live doing 6 months to a year. You're gonna get to a point where you piss off a judge, and once the judge is pissed off, he can do whatever he wants, and he can hold it up to the absolute max if he really wants to. And a judge has seen her, you know, so many times, you know, he's finally going to get to the point where he puts her in jail.
He's going to get to the point that fuck this. He's going up the river.
You think she knows the bailiff by name now?
Is his name Bull?
Yeah, Bull. I love Night Court.
Well, there's the one picture where the security guard's kind of looking at her ass and she's there with her lawyer.
I've seen her mugshots. Ain't much to look at.
Well.
She still looks fine with makeup on, but when she doesn't have that makeup on, you're right. She's looking her age. And she started being weight again, unfortunately.
And she had a affair with Davey Boy Smith, apparently.
And it must have been fucking cold in that courthouse, dude.
Oh, Ed.
Look at the pictures. Look at
I'm you're such a dork. Maybe she just can't find her bra. Anyway, we have two pay-per-views this weekend. One of them's an iPay-per-view. Actually, there's three pay-per-views this weekend. What am I saying? Ring of Honor is tomorrow night, which nobody's going
to
watch because if you're any fan of UFC, you've got to watch
War Bonner.
Who?
Bonner. Stephen Bonner.
Don't know him.
He's fighting Anderson Silva.
He's that first fight on the Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah, he's the guy in the forest. That's the first. They're the ones that basically put UFC on the map as far as
absolutely
as the real hardcore fan.
Yeah,
I mean,
I gave that fight a star and a quarter.
You need to rewatch it because that's a five-star fight. You know, and what's so awesome, I don't, I don't know when the last UFC you went to, Craig, but you did you see the video before the pay per view?
Of?
They show the video. This is the highlight video before the pay per view starts. It's to the hell's the name of the song. Well, anyway, it's this awesome video. Everyone always talks. It's like one of the highlights of going to a UFC show is seeing this video before the pay per view starts. And it ends. It's because there's like a long instrumental at the end, and it ends with like all the highlights from that fight, and it's like it's so perfect. It's like, I mean,
yeah,
that was one hell of a fight, dude. I mean, to this day, that's one of the best fights I've ever seen.
It holds up, and Anderson's going to win, but Stephen Bonner is so tough, and he's going to take everything that Anderson tells him to throw
him. Basically, two things are going to happen. Now, 99% of the time, the chance is he's going to take one hell of an ass kicking before he loses. And then there's a 1% chance that he could actually win.
Anyway, I'm very excited for the fight tomorrow night. But while that's going on, there is an iPay-per-view by one ROH this weekend. And I'm afraid nobody's going to see it because of their iPay-per-view disasters from the past. But the card reads as this. Rhett Titus and VJ Whitmer against Haas and Benjamin. We have a cage hostility rematch. Caprice Coleman and Cedric Alexander versus the Bravado Brothers. We have Roderick Strong versus Tadarius Thomas. This match actually sounds pretty good. The American Wolf, Davey Richards versus Jay Lethal. We have a grudge match with No Fear, Mike Mondo versus the Prodigy, Mike Bennett. We have Adam Cole defending his title against Die Hard Eddie Edwards. That's going to be a great match. We have the ROH Tag Team Champions, Jimmy Jacobs and Steve Carino. They will be defending against the Briscoe Brothers. And I have to see this match, hook or crook. Kevin Steen defends his title against Unbreakable Michael Elgin. And I'm sure that will be a hard-hitting match. And if that weren't enough for pay-per-view this weekend.
Where's Brutal Bob? Is that on the show?
I didn't see his name listed. We need to get Brutal Bob on the show here in the next few weeks before Iron Week. Anyway.
Yeah, and besides Iron Week, we can also talk about Star Blazers, apparently.
Apparently.
Star Blazer, that was Danny Davis.
No,
that was Tim Horner, I'm sorry.
So if two pay-per-views weren't enough for tomorrow, on Sunday, TNA's WrestleMania, TNA's Bound for Glory, is on pay-per-view this Sunday. And it reads like this, Rob Van Dam versus Zima.
Didn't we review this show like 2 or 3 weeks ago? Do we really need to do it again?
Review it?
Well,
it hasn't happened yet.
I mean, I have to do it. Didn't we, like, preview it? I swear to God, I remember talking about Aces and Eights and James Storm and Bobby Roode and
everything. Well, let him finish before you butt in, please. Continue, Craig.
There's 7 minutes of the show left. Let me do the last story I have here. Rob Van Dam versus Zema Ion, which was made last night in a three-minute segment. For some reason, I have a perverse desire to see this match. I think it's going to be a missed spot fest.
I think Rob Van Dam's gut will be the winner.
Magnus versus Samoa Joe. This is a singles match for the TV championship. Joey Ryan versus Al Snow in a single match. If Ryan wins, he is awarded a long-term TNA contract. If not, he's going to be forced to leave. And,
shows how great of a heel that Joey Ryan is, because I really want Al Snow to win.
I really like Joey Ryan, and I hope Al Snow can redeem himself from the dog kennel match that he had with one Ray Traylor.
It was 10 years ago.
I know, and I still haven't got over it. The Aces and Eights, two of them.
Dude, he was part of Head Cheese.
Yes, and he also ate his dog Fifi. Or not Fifi, was it Fifi?
He ate Rick Frizzelli.
Never mind. That's another sex tape that's coming out later.
I hope he's in Ric Flair dating now.
Aces and Eights versus Sting and Bully Ray. This is going to be a tag team championship or tag team match. If Aces and Eights win, they will receive full access to the Impact Zone. And if Sting and Bully win, Aces and Eights will leave TNA forever. Expect Aces and Eights to go over, and I just have this really weird feeling that Bully Ray is going to be the one with Eric Bischoff in the heel role, and I hope Jeff Jarrett makes it back for this.
Don't they do this every year, Bound for Glory? Like, do they have the new heel group or something? Seems like it.
Seems like it.
And Hogan's going to be a ringside. Maybe he'll turn heel again. I don't know. I don't care.
Yeah, he doesn't have enough heat on him.
It's so stupid.
It's a bad, bad
angle. I'm only happy they're still feeding old Joseph.
It's a hot angle. They were going to end it weeks ago, but it was so hot they continued it. What are you talking about?
Yeah, and you got a shitty rating this week, too. So.
Sure. For the Women's Knockout Championship, Tara versus Miss Tessmacher. We have a
I think Julie Ryan's going to be her Hollywood boyfriend.
Ooh, that would be a good twist. I like it. That would be awesome, actually. That's a great idea. In a street fight with King Mo as a special referee, or special enforcer, excuse me, Bobby Roode versus James Storm. The show-stealing match, I'm almost positive. AJ Styles and Kurt Angle versus Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez versus the World Tag Team Champions of the World, Christopher Daniels and Kazarian. I love the fact.
I hate that when they say stupid shit.
Hearing Hernandez's name reminds me of a story I'll talk about after we go off the live.
This is that because you remember when Michael Buffer proclaimed somebody the United States Heavyweight Champion of the World?
That
was like awesome. The United States Heavyweight Champion of the World. Okay.
Well, technically, right. There's only one United States in the world.
The United States is actually in the world, so there you go. And in the main event, Jeff Hardy will face Austin Aries for the TNA World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, not
that
feeling like that.
I was kind of looking forward to this, but I'm not driving up to Boston to watch it. I'll tell you that right now.
I'm going to watch it. I don't know. I don't get really into anything Jeff Hardy does.
Dude, go over there and eat all his food and make up for all the food he's eating at your house.
That would be fine, but Brian never has food in his house because he eats out all the time.
And that's Snorky, so I can be his VP running mate in this little fucking election on the Brian and Vinny show.
You're such a dork. Why do you give two craps about that?
Why does Granny hate me? I mean, everybody was on her Facebook telling her to pick me, and she still refuses.
We have sandpaper in my shop less abrasive than you.
I don't know what that means.
She's heard you talk.
But anyway.
Throw out the plug.
Okay. Everyone check out angrymarks.com. You can always check out our show and stream our show and download our show at angrymarks.com, along with a lot of other shows like the Angry Marks Show and Glove Up and Shut Up I don't know. There's a ton of shows. So go to angrymarks.com, and you can also see our stuff at poptalkradio.com/Contreras. Or you can also find all the links on my Facebook wall at Facebook Edward Laredo or Ed in San Antonio. And speaking of Hernandez, there's kind of like a little controversy here in San Antonio because it wasn't that okay. Like one Saturday a month, River City Wrestling has a show. We've had Brandon Oliver, the promoter, on quite a few times. We've had a few of the wrestlers on the show. Well, they had a show Saturday, and they had a guy who wrestled there who had passed away, and they did like a little tribute to him, and so they videotaped that. You don't have the videotape footage. Anyway, a day or two later, Brandon, I guess, left all the titles and the fence footage in his car, and somebody went to his house or broke into his car and stole all the RCW titles and the footage. And
brutal.
You know, there's other promotions that run here in San Antonio, and they're not on the nicest terms. So, you know, it could be like, you know, some just dirty work, or it could just be some maybe a neighbor who kind of knew what he did or whatever, and you know, whatever. But you know, they have
Don't leave shit in your car.
What's that?
Don't leave shit in your car.
Yeah, I know. I mean, yeah, you shouldn't. But you know, he probably thought he lived in the same neighborhood or whatever. That was cool. But fortunately, that stuff happened, so that's kind of a big deal. I mean, like one of the DJs for the rock station kind of works for RCW, so he's kind of like, they're trying to convince the guy, like, you know, saying that if you bring in nothing, you know, it'll happen or whatever. But I don't think anyone's turned it in. They're going to have people going to, like, every pawn shop looking for the titles to make sure no one pawned them and stuff. So, yeah, I think that's kind of...
It's funny. Somebody tried to pawn that and say, I wonder where you got this from. Is this stolen?
Yeah, but, you know, that's the thing that, you know, people are that stupid to where they actually would go to a pawn shop with something stolen like that.
Hey, real quick, I wanted to throw another plug out for my YouTube channel. You can go there. There's a playlist. The playlist is labeled Japan. It only has a few Japan matches. It's got some other stuff. It has a 30-minute unification match with Ric Flair and Rick Martel for the AWA and NWA title on it. And it's got Ric Flair against Terry Warrior from World Class. And that Tanahashi-Suzuki match is up there. Ric Flair against Bobby Eaton. And the final Mid-South TV show before they changed it to UWF is up there, too. So. And I have the big event from the WWF big event from the Big Toronto show up there as well. So.
That's a cool videotape that I used to have. I actually have a plug of my own. I am now on Twitter. You can follow me. I haven't tweeted yet, but you can follow me. I am at Proper Jam, Proper Jam, and you'll see my Mr. Incredible outfit and my smiling face behind the mask. So, Proper Jam on Twitter.
So you haven't tweeted, so like you didn't get on your Twitter before the show and say, hey, everybody, check out this show I'm about to be on and the link to so-and-so.
Well, we don't have a Twitter handle, so I didn't do that. If we had a Twitter handle and we had a Facebook page of some kind, if somebody would know anything about marketing, they would get all over that.
Ain't my show.
Just saying. Exactly.
Are you going to trust me to do that?
Go tell Kurt Angle on Twitter or something. That'd be funny.
Ooh.
Right, get into a Twitter feed with Kurt Angle and plug the show.
And I only watch this Japan match so Rover wouldn't troll me no more about this damn match.
I know, so I hope you're happy now, Rover, so leave this fuck alone, all right, goddammit.
No, I'm just kidding.
Unless you're going to put links or like YouTube links like that on the board, like on the thing, so we can see it, that's cool. I'd be more than happy to see it, but I'm not going to pay money out of my own pocket to watch shit I'm not interested in for the most part.
I like Rover, and I know a lot of people don't, but... I just find it funny when they get so damn frustrated with him and say they're going to kick his ass or something. That's funny.
I remember he got banned on one of the Vegas trips.
Oops.
Because he was like, we were just all sitting there, and Brian just, I guess he was, Dave had banned Rover. So we're all sitting there at the bar, even Granny's there, and Brian just shakes his head. He's like, well, Dave banned Rover. I thought that was pretty funny. But, for sure, do you have anything else you want to talk about before we go?
No. I watched The Avengers finally. It was pretty good.
Awesome. I just watched it a couple weeks ago. Again,
I recorded, Prometheus? Is that the name of that movie? I recorded it on pay-per-view. I'm fixing to watch it here in a little bit. I've never seen it, so. Check that out.
It's okay. It tries too hard to not be what it is.
And of course, on pay-per-view and those fucking superhero movies, all the shit's at the end of the fucking credits. So you get down there and then it cuts off from where I recorded it. I guess they were just sitting there eating lunch or something, huh? That was it.
That was the very, very end. They were eating lunch in the little cafe that they had mentioned.
I still think Captain America is a shitty superhero who's a bad influence on the children because he's chock full of steroids and stuff, but whatever. That's what the kids are into now.
Okay.
I heard they're going to make a SHIELD TV show, and they got to have that fucking chick, Fury Second. That chick is hot.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
The chick from, okay, on the Avengers, dude, who's Fury has, like, a chick that's, like, second in charge.
Okay.
Not Romanoff, but the other white chick.
Yeah, actually, I think she's Hispanic.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
I'm a fake.
The chick who flew the freaking carrier, Craig.
Yeah, I know who she is, Michelle Rodriguez.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. She's freaking hot. If they make a SHIELD TV show, she needs to be the star of that.
I see.
I like
that because...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, because Scarlett Johansson's not attractive at all.
No, she's fine, too, but I'm just saying I like the other chick, too.
Fine.
Everyone knows about Scarlett Johansson. No one knows about the new chick.
Anyway, go ahead, Katrina.
I was just saying, my favorite part of the movie was when Hulk just thumps Loki. He just...
Yes.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Puny god.
He's okay as the bad guy, but I just... I feel like I just seen him in a movie, so... Because I just seen him in Thor. Like, it wasn't that long ago, it didn't seem like. So.
Yeah, it was kind of close, but it was still pretty good. The thing is, at the end, who's the villain? Is it Tonus or is it somebody else?
That is the Skrull. That is the...
It is the other.
New,
it's a Skrull?
The new...
Okay.
The Skrull, yeah.
It kind of looks like Tonus.
They're the bad guys. That's all I know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was explained to me, so.
Mm-hmm. But,
Anyway,
Craig, do you have anything you want to talk about before we go?
I am done for the evening. I'll hopefully get us a guest next week. Probably good chances of this happening.
Cool. Well, I did have something I wanted to talk about, and you might actually like this one, Craig, because after it was brought up 2 weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago, I went on YouTube and typed in Star Blazers and found the entire full season of the first season, every episode, which is like 25, 26 episodes, and I watched them.
By the way, first off,
you disappointed me, Craig, because you're supposed to be a big fan, but you got the guy's name wrong. You said his name was Starbucks.
Yeah, that was actually something else.
Yeah,
that was
Star Galactic. But anyway, so I watched it, and I'm actually on episode 3 of season 2. But the first episode, I watched them in. This cartoon is such a mix of two things. It's one of the cheesiest fucking cartoons ever. I mean, God, there is some cheese on the damn cartoon. But you mix it in with some freaking brilliant storylines and angles and stuff. I mean, there's some really, really well thought out shit in the stuff, but it's there with some heavy ass cheese, and it's I really enjoyed watching them again. And actually, when I was a kid, I mainly saw season 2 and 3. I never really saw the first one, so it was pretty cool. But it's there's some creepy shit on it.
Yeah.
When Xandor takes his arms and legs off and while Thor has to carry him, like that was pretty weird. And then when the robot's all in love and wants the bow Nova.
Uh-huh.
That was pretty funny, but I'm sure if you've heard the name before Starblazers. Go on YouTube, just type in Starblazers and season one. I'll pop up. I highly recommend Starblazers.
Yeah.
Fuck it off.
Yeah,
that was the way I spent every morning before I went to school. I watched Starblazers. I just loved that show when I was a kid. And I went to go buy them on DVD. And there's only, I'm pretty sure there's only two seasons.
There's three seasons.
Okay, there's three seasons then. But if you go to buy them in a box set, it's going to set you back about $3. It's absolutely ridiculous. There is no way I'm ever going to own this on DVD.
Yeah, like my dad used to own a video store. Like, I just used to call a lot of the Yada shows when I was working at the video store. And I found this one catalog. And it had the Star Blazers on there, and I had, because I always remembered the ship, but I could never remember the name of the show. And I came across a picture of the ship. I was like, oh man, it's like it had all of them. I was like, oh damn, like, I'm gonna get these. I was like, man, I can't wait till next week I get paid. I'm gonna order these. And then sometime before that week, my dad found the catalog and thought it was just useless and threw it away. So I was like, I was pissed because I was like, after all these years later, I found them, and then it was taken away from me before I could watch.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're on YouTube, and unfortunately, I actually kind of wish I could see the Japanese versions, because they actually changed stuff up in the American version. Like, like on season two, there, I just saw where, like, they meet at Avatar's memorial, and supposedly they're drinking spring water, but fucking the doctor's getting drunk off his ass. I thought it was funny that they had to change it. You know, made it PC, and they turned the sake into spring water. And then, like, when they have the one battle where it's like the four carriers and the one general, Alexis or whatever, where at the end, it ends where, like, he puts a bomb on the Argo, and then, like, they take off to go face their punishment back home. But in the Japanese versions, he actually just rams his ship into the Argo and dies that way, because, you know, the ship blows up, but it didn't blow up the Argo. So, you know, I kind of wish I could see the Japanese versions, but, yeah, it's that cartoon is different. That's all I can say.
Starblazer was the first victim of the York Foundation. Did you know that? He followed up Michael Wall Street in his debut.
What?
And Alexander York said, "You'll beat Star Blazer in 2 minutes and 30 seconds, and be damned if you didn't."
The Star Blazer? Who's the Star Blazer?
Yeah, he was in WCW. He was Tim Horner. You know what you're talking about?
I'm sure I saw that, because I remember all the Alexander York stuff, but I don't even remember that. I have to see it.
Yeah. It was no good.
Oh. You don't say.
I don't know what y'all are talking about. I'm finna hang up.
Dude, if you like weird, funny shit, go to YouTube and type in Starblazer, dude. But other than that, I guess we can go ahead and end the show. And hopefully Craig will have a guest, like you said. And we will talk to everyone later. As soon as I can find this damn thing song that I can never find. And Katura's already hung up. He's sitting here waiting for the music. That's just so unprofessional. And where the hell is this damn phone? Dang. Here it is.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix shit. Let's go hook him up! Tonight.